Jamie Sedge Powell runs top 50 independent platinum retail with his dad, Sedge. Following Sedge's sale of MFG, he started Platinum Retail, where Jamie joined the business in 2016. The business has grown to 55 sites as it stands today, and as the next generation, Jamie is looking to continue that growth into the future. Here's Jamie Sedge Powell.
So, Jamie, you've worked at Platinum for 8 years. I've known you for 6 of those.
Yes.
I mean, I've seen Platinum grow as a business. I've seen you grow into your current role today.
Yes, yes.
And it's been really great to see that. And maybe give me a bit of background, first of all, about the business, about where it came from, how it grew to the behemoth it is today.
So if we start right at the start, so Dad's been in the business for 45 years now. He was the owner, part owner of MFG, sold that in 2011, and he was going to retire, and he was going to be done with the petrol business and the industry. But after about 2 months, he got bored. He got bored of sitting at home, driving to Starbucks every day. So 2 months later, he starts Platinum Retail, and we are now at 55 sites, growing every day. As you said, I've been with the business 8 years. My younger brother has just joined, and you know, it's a proper family business, and we're just trying to grow and stay on top of the business every day.
Nice. And you joined straight out of university?
I did a year and a half at uni. I was doing business management. The uni I was at was at Pearson College in London. So they were a startup. They own Edexcel, Penguin Books. And I did a year and a half. I didn't enjoy it. Didn't enjoy doing uni. And I sat down with Dad. I remember it was January. So we were just about finishing. I believe the Christmas break. I sat down with Dad and I went, I'm not enjoying this. I don't enjoy this. Can I maybe join you in the business and let's see what happens there? And he said, that's completely fine. If you're truly wanting to do this, then I'll let you join, but you're going to have to start in one of the sites to begin with. And I believe a couple months later, I started at one of our sites in Leighton Buzzard. I did a year there behind the till, back office systems.
Wow, he made you that for a year.
A year getting on the train up to Leighton Buzzard. I was doing stock takes, everything, cleaning tanks, cleaning pumps, taking water out the systems on the ground. So he wanted me to know the ropes. So at least when managers would call about certain things at the sites, at least I knew what they were talking about. And it's beneficial. When I asked him to begin with, I thought I was going to go straight into the office. I thought it was going to be office life. It was a bit of an awakening when he said, oh, you're going to be in a site and you're doing that for a year. And it had to sink in a little bit. And I was like, you know what? That's probably the best thing to do for me. Did a year. And then after that, he said, okay, come into the office. Let's see how you get to grips with things.
Looking back at that time, like when you were in that petrol station, did you see yourself doing the job that you're doing today, pretty much running a 55 site operation?
Not 55. Definitely not. I mean, when we first met, we had 21 sites. And that was 2017.
Yeah.
So Dad originally, he wanted to get up to about 30 and then stop. This wasn't going to be the business it was. He saw it as a kind of, not part-time, but he likes his trips away. So no, I didn't see it going to 55. I didn't see us get into this position. But the minute he went over 30, it started clicking that, oh, this is something that we as a family really have to get to grips with. And he's been doing it for 45 years. So it was a bit of an awakening in that sense.
Yeah. So you talked about the trips there.
Yeah.
Right. Because obviously I know that you go to the golf and so on.
Yes.
But it's one of those things in the industry where people retire and then they get bored.
Yeah.
And they want to grow back up. But to go and do it to the level that you've done it, do you think that your dad would have done that if you didn't join the business? And now your brother as well? Or?
I think he would have, if me and my brother hadn't joined the business, I think he would have sold up a long time ago. I think he's always wanted us to be in the business. Very early days, when I was 5, 6 years old, when we found out, well, Dad was owning petrol stations, in my head, I thought that was every petrol station. So we'd go into sites and I would just take chocolate bars and stuff like that, and chocolate and ice creams, and I'd just walk out. Because I'm like, oh, this is our petrol station. We own petrol stations. And then it would be my mum or dad running in, trying to apologize that we're stealing all this stuff. And originally I also thought that the fuel was free. I thought we'd rock up to a site, And that was it, you know. We'd take the fuel and we'd drive off. We didn't have to pay for it.
How old were you at this point? Hopefully.
I was like young. 5 or 6, okay, you good. Know. I'm not 11, 5 or 6. And you know, you have to be told, no, we don't own it. We don't own every petrol station. These aren't all ours. So it was very, very young. I already knew what Dad was doing. And I did work experience with Dad through secondary school. One of the years it was a day, and then it turned into a week. So I've always been involved when it was Dad was at MFG. And I've always kind of knew that this is where I'd be coming into, but it wasn't originally what I wanted to do. I wanted to do something in business, but I never thought it was going to be in petrol stations. Hmm.
So you've come out of university, or you've left university.
Left university, right? Yeah.
Left university to come work for the family business with the expectations of coming into an office job.
Yes.
You've ended up on site, which I think is great. A year is a long time, so you must really know how to run a petrol station.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great. Then the move into the office, what was the moment, or what was the straw that broke the camel's back with getting you into a more office-based job?
I think it was always going to be a year. I think Dad was never going to leave me out there. I think he always wanted me in the office with him. Dad and I are close, you know, as any father or son are. And I help him out a lot. So he needs that. He likes having me there. So I wasn't surprised when he was like, okay, come join me in the office. I never thought I was going to be one of those guys who was on the road, going around to all the sites every other day. I enjoy being in the office. I enjoy working with Dad, close to Dad, getting to know the people in the industry. I never realized that everyone in the industry was so close. I never thought that. I always thought, like any other industry, everyone's against everyone. We're always trying to outdo the competition, everyone's competition. But the first time I was thrown into that situation, it was a forecourt trader, about 2016. Everyone coming up to Dad as their best friends. And that took me by surprise, to know that everyone was just friendly with everyone. Everyone was there to help each other. Yes, we might try and outdo each other with prices if we have competition with each other. But we're always looking out for each other. Everyone knows each other. Everyone's friendly. So that was a big surprise for me in the early days. But yeah, to work side by side with Dad, I think it's what anyone would want, really. Even if sometimes it's tough, he can be hard, you know. But it's his business at the end of the day, and he wants this to succeed.
He can be hard with me, and I don't work here, so I'm not surprised to hear that.
I mean, his negotiation skills in any meeting, I couldn't believe it the first time when I sat in it. And it's just, what he wants is what he's going to get. But at the end of the day, again, it's a family business, you know. We're looking out for each other. We're always trying to do the best that we can. But yeah, he can be tough. He can be tough of anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've got a younger brother coming into the business now.
Yes.
Doing more in the business. What's that like?
Interesting. It's interesting seeing the route he's going to be taking. I mean, he only had to do about 3 months in the site, so I wasn't too happy with that. I had to do a year. But yeah, he came in November into the office. So he's just trying to learn the ropes. And I think he's more catered to being on the road. So I don't see him in the office too long. He wants to be out there. He wants to be visiting all the sites. He wants to, I think he's more about, you know, the shop and what's going on in there. Where I'm more the wider picture, fuel pricing, and what goes on the forecourt. But I think that's what Dad's want. I have another brother. I have a middle brother who isn't interested in the business. But I think if he was to join, give it a couple of years, I think Dad would have stepped back. But, you know, Dad lives for this. And I don't see him ever taking a step back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's everyone I know, or not everyone, but most people I know that have sold their sites and cashed out.
Yeah.
Back in the game 6 months later.
Oh yeah.
Certainly the crowd from like 4 or 5 years ago who did it, or even a bit longer than that. And so I'm not surprised. I think it's one of those industries where I think it's a lot to do with what you said, that there is a community.
Yeah.
It's quite a community-based industry, and people know each other, and there's a mutual respect between competitors.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You don't get in other industries.
No. If you'd stopped for 2 months and you got straight back into it, we would be driving anywhere, and if it was a block of flats, he would have been like, "That was a Texaco 20 years ago, owned by this so and so, and that shell over there used to be a BP, and we owned it with MFG." You would name a street, say anywhere, Swindon, Manchester, and Dad probably could tell you what site's on that corner, who owns it. So that was a lot of growing up with traveling around, dad just pointing out random places and just telling us what sites used to be there or who used to own these sites. So it's always been ingrained in our mind. Dad's very sharp, and to get to that position would be fantastic, you know, just to know so much about this industry. It's just always at the forefront of your mind.
You've got the example of what you want to get to or where you want to be right in front of you. Like, that must help a lot. And he's still in the business, still doing the day-to-day.
Yeah, still doing the day-to-day. Again, we go back to taking these trips. We as a family, we always head out to America in the summer. So that was the big trip. And back with MSG and the early years of Platinum, I didn't notice too much that he was doing the work out there. You never really saw it. But ever since being in the business, dad out there, he wakes up 4 o'clock in the morning every day to go through emails, to go through what's happening on the site level, to speak to our guys on the road. This is every day while on holiday, and he'll do about 4 or 5 hours in Orlando. The first thing he did when we got the house, set up the office. So he made sure that he was going to be on top of everything. And even when I'm out there, I have to work. This business never stops.
No.
It never sleeps. So whenever we're on these trips, we're still working. There's still stuff going on. So you have to put the work in and really grind with it, especially something with petrol. There's always a problem.
Always a problem.
Always a problem. Every day is a new day. And you take a day off and you can lose control of it, right?
Yeah, but it's about having a balance, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about having...
That's what those trips are about, really.
Yeah, I mean, he's able to take off the afternoons and evenings and he's completely fine. He sees it. If he does this 4 hours in the morning when everyone over here is waking up, everyone's starting their day, then he's very happy with that. We've got good people in Platinum who make sure that it continues running when we're away. But when it comes to it, you always have to keep an eye on it. You can't stop.
But what's the culture? You mentioned that you've got good people. What's the culture like in the business? And how do you make sure that with you being away and also you being in head office?
Yes.
And your dad being in head office, how do you make sure that those people are good people and that they are keeping the business running in the way that you want it to?
So we've got two main area managers, or two main people who work with us, who both have been working with dad since MFG days. So there's that relationship that you can't have people working for you who you don't have a relationship with. There's nothing there, there's no point. So dad's big thing is trust. You have to trust these people. If you don't trust them, then there's no point of them working with you. So dad's worked with our two main guys since the MFG days, since 2005, or even before that. And dad can at least trust them to know that they are keeping the business held down and he doesn't have to worry. And we work on a commission operator base with our stores and sites. And again, some of these people have been with us since 2012 when we started, but you have to have a relationship. Dad knows their families, he knows their backgrounds. A lot of them have come from Sri Lanka and places like that. And dads, they tell dad, you know, go out there, you should go out there, you should go visit. And dad takes these on. He's been out there. It's one of his favorite places to go now. So at least they know that they're being listened, heard. And I think dad's able to be comfortable taking these trips and knowing that the Platinum is going to be looked after by the people who work for it and with it.
How has that changed? What is the difference? When we met, you had 21. You mentioned that before.
Yes.
You're now on 55, still growing. What challenges have come with running more sites?
Dad still sees this as a company with 21 sites. We need to grow a bit more. He still sees it as a very family-owned business, where, in fact, I believe that we're a bit more than that now. I think we need more people on the road. We're 55 and having two main guys running around, they're very spread out thin. And then you start to lose control here and there.
It also restricts you in terms of what you can buy, as well as the location.
I mean, we're set up head offices in the south, and we're based in it just outside of London. But a lot of our sites are up north. A lot of them are in St. Helens. We've got a few up in Yorkshire, you know. So there's a lot of traveling to be done. And our guys are set up down south as well. I think dad still sees this as a hobby. He likes to describe it as his hobby, petrol, where I see it, we're a proper business. I think we need a few more people to really start squeezing and trying to get the most out of what we do.
When you say get the most out of what we do, what are those areas? When you talk about growing as a fuel business, it's not just number of sites.
No, the big thing right now I'm seeing is everyone's building out their shops. There's a lot more to offer in the shops. When I started, it was very much focused on the fuel side of things. When I joined, I was never really keyed in with that shop was so important. I always saw it as we sell petrol. So to come in and to see that what we offer in the shop is as important to what we do outside in the forecourt, I thought was interesting. You know, planograms. I never knew about these things. You know, I always thought you just throw your chocolate bars into one side.
What's a planogram?
So a planogram is, it's where you're putting your products, the best place to put them in your store. So, you know, you'll see chocolate bars in confectionery, they'll be near the till as you're walking up to pay, because people are going to be looking to pick up something. Your wines and stuff are normally kind of straight in front when you enter. And so, same with, we're doing a lot of stuff with food to go. These are the things you want people seeing right in front of them. And we use them to try and push the most out of what we offer in the shop. So to hearing about it, I always thought you just put it wherever you want to put it, it's going to sell. But the shopper, it's an interesting person. Everyone's different, but they all kind of have the same habits. Everyone's picking up chocolate bars if they're stopping. Everyone wants to get coffee is another one. Everyone wants on a long journey is going to pick up a coffee and a snack. So to kind of focus on what's happening in the shop has been interesting to try and push those sales. And I feel like with more people joining Platinum in the business, we can have more people going site level and really pushing our managers to do the best that they can do for their shop to really push the sales, because at the end of the day, they come out winners and we come out winners. If people are not taking care of what they own, then they're going to come out losers.
There's an education involved. You just educated me on what a planogram is.
Mm. There is education. You need to educate people on what's best and what's best for their shops. And Dad, he knows the inside and outs of the shops. What he goes down when he goes to sites, the first thing he does, he spends 10 minutes outside. And he'll look at it. He'll watch the flow of traffic. He'll watch the people come in, how quickly they're served, how quickly their pumps are engaged. And that's what he does. He'll look on the outside because that's the first thing the shopper sees. And then he'll go inside. Everything needs to be stocked. Your aisles has to be stocked completely, fully. You don't want gaps. You don't want missing parts of the puzzle, really. You want to be greeted when you walked in. You need to be upselling, I think, is the main thing. And if you have a manager at a site who's not privy to these things, then it's not going to work. You need people who want not for us to do well, but for them, their shops to do well. So you have to kind of, they work for Platinum Retail, but they're working for them. It's their shop at the end of the day. And you want the best of both worlds. You want them to be winners.
Also, they're managers. So to get into a management position where you're looking after other people, you're not going to get in that position if you don't have some kind of aspiration to be better.
That's so completely
you're
right.
Probably talking to the right audience when you're saying, we want you to do more, we want you to be better.
Yeah.
What it sounds like is what you want to put in place over the coming years is to have a program where these managers can take the next step for the sites.
Yeah, no, yeah. Completely, because shop sizes are going to start increasing. There's going to be more offers in the shops. There's going to be more food to goes. There's going to be more cafe areas even. You know, people with the movement of EG coming into sites. And a lot of these fuel brands, when talking to us, they want people to be in the shop for 20, 30 minutes. So you're going to want to create an atmosphere where people want to stay in your shops and buy. So if you're not creating that atmosphere, no one's going to be in your shop. And I think that's what we're looking forward to the future, really building out our shops, really getting the managers invested in what's happening with their shops.
You mentioned food to go a few times.
Yes.
And that's something which a lot of people talk to me about. We had Slayton Watley, who's a retailer from Georgia, on the podcast last week. Mm-hmm. One of the things we speak about in America is you have a lot of unbranded sites in America.
Yes.
That have their own brands. And you'll know this because you spend a lot of time over there. Yeah, and yeah, if you're in Florida, you've probably been to Wawa.
Yeah, Wawa, yeah. Racetrack, all those 7-Elevens.
Yeah. And they all have their own kind of staple of hot food. Whereas in the UK, you do get that sometimes, but typically they'll put in a branded offering. They'll put in a Greggs or a Subway or something. So what do you think is the way forward? What are the advantages and disadvantages of both?
The customer base in the UK and US is completely different. You go to the US and you see sites like Wawa. They're on TV promoting their food. They promote their hoagies, which are famous over there. People go to Wawa, they don't fill up. They go buy the hoagies. They just want to get the sandwiches because they're so famous. But it's a completely different market over here, where I think people, I don't think it's they're not interested in, oh, that place has a Greggs, so I'm going to go there for a Greggs. Or that place has, say, a Wenzel's, if they ever came in, I'm going to go there. Or a Subway, you know, people, they just want to come to what's closest. If they turn up to a site and there's a Subway, they're going to pick up a Subway. If they turn up to a site and there's a Greggs, they're going to pick up a Greggs. So I think with name brands, it's normally what's closest. I find it for myself. Where is nearest I go? I have favorites, but if the closest one's 5, the next one's 15, I'm going to go to the one that's 5 minutes away. I don't think we could ever have our own branded foods, though. I don't think that's ever could ever be a thing. I could never see Platinum doing
Platinum salads.
Platinum salads, Platinum pizzas. I could never
Platinum pizzas. I like that.
I could never see that happening over here because people go, "What the hell is Platinum Pizza? What is that? Oh, I'm gonna go Pizza Hut. I'm gonna go Domino's." Whereas in America, you can go to these places, Wawa, Racetrack, and if they're doing their own branded stuff, people are gonna buy that. People are gonna go there for those things.
Do you not think we could build that sort of cult following here in the UK?
I don't think so. I really don't.
It's to do with the fuel brand a lot as well, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
How do you? Is that something they've done really well in the States? Where, if you look at Wawa's a good example, but even take one of our customers, Jonathan Tang, and he's got his dragon themed, he's also in Alabama, which is also where a lot of Slayton sites are.
Yeah.
And he's got a dragon themed brand called Tang Mart. And then in the shops, they've got all this Tang Mart branded stuff. And,
oh, yeah.
And he's trying to build up a brand that way. And he's also got a few branded sites with Chevron. But it's really interesting that's where the US has gone.
Yeah.
But they started from nothing. You know, at one point, someone turned around and said, "We can build our own branded sites here. We'll sell cheap fuel."
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the main difference, is that they're able to put Wawa on the canopy.
Yeah.
They're able to put Racetrack on the canopy.
Yeah.
And that's probably allowing them to, when people drive past, there's Racetrack. I know that I get Racetrack. People drive past the Platinum site, they see BP.
They see Shell, yeah.
And they think that's like the other BP sites. And there's no way you can control. Now, BP have done part of this with Wild Bean, haven't they?
Yes.
They've built their own branded coffee offering.
Yeah, so we've got about 8 or 9 in the sites now. We've got a few more coming on. And, you know, it's working very well. It's just a one-stop shop. You know, you go to BP now and you know that you're expecting the Wild Bean. You know, you know Wild Bean's BP branded. And I think that's maybe what other brands are missing. You know? BP have something with Wild Bean there. But again, with this thing with America Tangs, I feel like the Americans, they love a success story. They love someone coming in and doing well for themselves. And they're going to seek that out. But here, I think the customer, they just want to go in and they want to get what they know. They want to get their cup of coffee. They want to get their chocolate bar, they want to get a pastry, and they want to fill up. So it's difficult in a way to decide what to put in to our sites.
It's a risk to go offbeat as well.
It is a risk
that you maybe don't need to take. And when you've got such a good setup with, you know, whether it be Wild Bean or Costa, and then on the food you've got Greggs, you've got Subway, you know what you're going to get with these brands. You know they're going to bring footfall, you know they're going to bring sales, and you know what margin you're going to make from them.
Yeah, don't fix which isn't broken. And if it works, it works. Greg's, people love Greg's. People like Subway, you know. But it's interesting seeing, there's a few sites, I believe up north, where I've seen where they put in these Indian sweet brands, and they're flying in certain communities. The people, the Indian snacks, Indian sweets and stuff like that, people go there in droves to buy that. I mean, you wouldn't think it works, but it does. So you've got Smash Burger at some of the sites.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Does really well from what I hear. Really, really well, you know. So in certain examples, it can work. It can work, these type of things. But I feel like you really need to change the perception of people for those things to work, you know.
But don't Varley have a site that sells all American sweets?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, that must do quite well.
I think it does. I mean,
reputation for it.
Did you, I don't know, would you have seen a couple of years back, maybe even last year, 2 years ago, there was a site, I think in the Midlands, went viral on TikTok. Well, that's the thing, isn't it now? It's TikTok.
You can get the word out there more.
You get the word out, you know, and if it picks up, you do really well. It was a site, and you walked in and it was the Tango Ice Blast, the American Sweets, you know, all these different offerings. And people were going in droves to this place because they'd seen on TikTok. And I think that's what the petrol industry is missing. You don't get advertisements on TV. You're not really out there on, you know, Facebooks. You know, I feel like a lot of us, we stick on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. We're a very LinkedIn-minded brand. In Platinum, we don't have a Twitter, don't have a Facebook, you know.
There's no social connection. There's no between social connection. The business and the consumer.
Because again, people come to the sites and they see BP or Shell.
Mm.
But wherever people in America, they go to a site, they see Wawa, this and that. The young generation, they live on TikTok. You know, everything needs a viral moment, and I think that's where we're missing a little beat there. You know,
are you doing anything on social?
Well, Josh is saying that we should. You know,
I agree with Josh.
He thinks that we should be on, and I think we don't have that much of a connection online. We should be promoting our sites when we bring them in on wherever, LinkedIn, Twitter, these, because we're getting these flagship sites in.
Well, drivers are getting younger as well. I mean,
yeah,
you've got to be older now to learn to drive, but ultimately you've got new drivers coming onto the road.
They're the new customers, yeah, you know.
The new customers who are probably more likely to spend in the shop. Like my parents, they don't buy anything at petrol stations. They're in their 60s. They turn up on site. They fill up their fuel. If they can pay at pump, excellent. I'm out of there. They're not going in and picking up hot food from a petrol station. My dad would think you were crazy.
Mm.
Now, obviously, he knows because of me that you can get really good food at petrol stations now, but he still can't really believe it and get his head around it. Whereas a 20-year-old driver, it's all they've ever known.
Yeah.
They've always known coffee at petrol stations. They've always known food is available at petrol stations, and they've actually come to expect it.
Yeah. Say we bring in a new slush machine into our site. You want to be able to promote it. You want to be able to shout the word out. So you need someone to be at least privy, who works with you, who's good with these type of sites, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram.
Is Josh good at them?
Josh is very good. Yeah. Josh, I mean, he's 20 years old. 21. Yeah,
that helps.
So he lives on it, as a lot of his generation, his friends do. So I think that's the way forward now. You know, you need someone in there. If you're bringing in a new type of food offering, you want to make it appealing to people. You don't just sit in there and just being like, okay, people are going to come to us. You need to be able to promote it on these sites. And if it picks up, then...
But even if another 40 people see it and five of them come, or even if those five people were coming anyway, but they happen to pick up an ice blast while they're there.
Yeah. There was a site in America where we stay. It's about 35-40 minute drive from where we are, and I would go there because there was a couple shops I used to go to, but there was a Shell site at the end of the road. But in that Shell site, they had soft serve ice cream, and they had about 20-25 different things. And even though the site was about 35-40 minutes, Dad would be nearly every other day, every couple of days, driving to go to the soft serve thing. But whenever he needed to fill up the car, he'll be like, we'll go to this site because it's got this here. And I like that, you know. So
that's in a Shell site.
That was a Shell in America. Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
And I'd never seen anything like that in any of the site anywhere over here. And if at least one person is picking up going, I'm going to drive out my way to go there. How many other more people do you think are doing that as well? I think the offerings and sites can get a bit samey.
Mm.
You need differentiation. You want to have the unique selling point, per se.
I think it's a mixture, though. I think you need what you need is samey. We were talking about this earlier, and it was mentioned on John Stevenson's podcast as well.
Mm.
It came from Michael O'Loughlin, so we're looping in a few people.
Yeah. But
there's got to be some samey, because people need to know, what can I get out of my petrol station experience?
Yes,
whether
yeah.
I go to this site or this site, what's the consistency that I'm going to get?
Mm.
Well, I know I'm going to get fuel. I know I can get my chocolate and tobacco. That's what Cokes and smokes. It's always been like that.
Mm.
Now everyone expects coffee.
Yep, everyone expects coffee. Yeah. You can't make too big a difference, because then you're going to turn people away, aren't you? You're going to go to some place that you're familiar with. I think it's feeling safe at the same time. We want to be able to be like, okay, I know what I'm getting myself into. I know where I'm going. I know what's there and what I can get. So at this site that I worked at when I started in the business, it was very much a community site. It was based in the community. It was a shell site. It was Leighton Buzzard, and the manageress and the person working behind the till, they were sisters. And the sister had actually been working before in the school down the road. So she knew everyone. She knew all the kids, all the parents who were visiting our site. And what they did, which I found interesting and I thought was really good, is they would stock certain products that they knew certain people would be buying. Take tobacco, chocolate bars. So one or two people would come in and they knew that they were going to be picking up this one product, but no one else was picking it up. But they made sure to keep it stocked. Even if it took about a month to sell it and they had to bring it back in, they would keep doing it because it kept the customer coming back. They knew that if they went to the shell site, that they were going to get the products that they wanted. They were going to get the pack of cigarettes or the chocolate bar that they wanted. And even if they were the only one who was getting it, because the minute you stop stocking these certain products for these people, they're going to go to the next store 10 minutes down the road where they know it's going to be stocked. We had a person who came in every day, the same time every day, and he would get the same thing every single time. He'd get a cup of coffee and a pack of cigarettes. And it came to a point where I was looking at my watch, counting down the seconds, and every time, dead on, he'd walk in and you'd start scanning up his stuff. You'd scan his cigarettes before he even got to the till. You would put the cost of coffee on the till. He'd come up and he'd pay, and that's it. And he would even spend a couple of minutes chatting with us behind the till. And that's what we need to get our managers to understand, that it's a community, the shop, the customers who come in, the regulars, the locals, it's a community where they have chosen your shop because they know they can get what they want. And say the cost machine's down for 2 days, you're going to lose customers, because say I go down one day, cost machine's shut. Okay, I'll come back tomorrow. If it's shut again, I'm just going to go to the next place where I know that the cost machine's working. So you've lost a customer there. So it's trying to get the managers to care about the community, care about the people coming to the stores. Because at the end of the day, if the manager stops caring, then the customers are going to stop caring and they're going to go somewhere else. Going back to Platinum growing as a company, where we need more people on the road, there's a few times we get fed back that a pump is down or a cost machine's down for a few days. And in our heads is, why hasn't that been fed back to us straight away? Why hasn't this been fixed? Why hasn't it been dealt with? Because if you're going to a site and you're out of unleaded, you've lost sales today on unleaded. The customer's gone to the next site and they'll probably go back there. They won't come back. So what we need to do as a company, we need our managers to care about not what they are doing for themselves, but what the community can do for you as well. Say Forecourt Trader, that they do massive the rewards on the community reach and community programs these sites do. And these sites are heaving because the community picks them out. The community goes back because they know that this site cares about them. So that's what we want as a business. We want our managers to care.
I think when you talk about community as well, that's also where the social media element does come into it.
Mm.
If you're going to present yourself as a community site, if you're going to have managers that care and have specific food or offerings for specific people that come in, then you're able to double down on that through social media.
Yeah.
That's where it all comes in. We were talking about the branding and how MFG, they've got the MFG brand. They've got the wooden backboard, so you kind of, you know that it's an MFG site.
Yes.
Do you see a place where Platinum will have something similar to that?
I think so. I hope so. We've designed a new logo, and I think it's a point where we need to be stating on sites that this is a Platinum site. People should be driving up to the site and goes, that's the local Platinum site. That's the site I use. You know, you want people to be singing our praises, you know? You want people, if we've done well, you want them coming to us. You want them on social media saying, this Platinum site, Platinum Retail, is the place, their sites are good, their sites cater to my needs. They go to our sites now and they just see it as a Shell or a BP. There's no differences. So MFG, I see the wooden backboard, I know it's an MFG. I don't even need to see the logo at the site now. I know it's an MFG, but with Dad, it's still, I mentioned already, it's a hobby. You know? He buys sites, he puts in what he knows is going to work for a site, but I think the community aspect and the aspect of really promoting ourselves as one of these big businesses. I mean, you see, we're what, top number 8 in the indies this year. We've moved up. We're not small anymore. And I think it's time where we really stamp our mark onto our sites so people know that they're going to us.
I think that's great. And I think that's a great opportunity for growth. We mentioned before, growth isn't always the number of sites you have. Mm. And the good news is there's a lot of improvement that can be made throughout the business.
Yeah.
And that sounds like that's where the future's heading. So I think you want more sites. You still want to keep growing.
Dad loves a deal. You know, he loves coming out of a boardroom knowing that he's got a deal. And again, he lives and breathes petrol. So the more sites that we can get in our portfolio, the better. He takes great pride in Platinum. So do I. This is the family business. We want to grow. We want to keep growing. We want it to work. Because at the end of the day, if we don't have this, what else are we going to do?
Platinum pizzas.
Platinum pizzas. Pizza Hut's going down. Domino's don't know what's about to hit them.
Thanks to Jamie for taking part in Fuel Matters. We're taking a short break, but we'll be back in a few weeks. So make sure that you subscribe and give us 5 stars. Thanks for listening.